Produced by Women About Women, Powerful Women Let's Talk is a series of interviews with women who are trailblazers and have helped shape our world, transforming who we are and how we live.
Hello, everyone. Time for Powerful Women Let's Talk. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Jennifer Moss. Today's powerful woman is Dr. Leedrian Roby. She's the Grand Rapids Public Schools Superintendent. Dr. Roby's an educator at her core, with her latest role especially as the head of Michigan's 8th largest school district. Dr. Roby, we are so happy to welcome you here to Powerful Women Let's Talk.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. So we're going to start with a bit about your background. Appointed superintendent of GRPS in February of 2020. So a year behind you now, you're heading up a district with approximately 15,000 students and 1,100 or so teachers. This is no doubt a huge responsibility, but one you've been basically preparing for throughout your career. Again, a teacher at heart, you've always been determined to make a difference in the lives of students. You've come back to Michigan from Minnesota. You were an elementary school teacher, an assistant principal, a principal, and that was here also in Southwest Michigan, as well as an assistant superintendent prior to your coming back, your big return to Michigan. So we welcome you back, of course. And now with a year under your belt, and quite a year it has been, with the year that you've had with the pandemic at hand, and then all the changes in education that came with that, are you finding it is good to that good belief still to be a teacher at heart, an educator at heart? Did that help with the flow of this past year?
Absolutely. I think with education and teaching specifically, it's always changing. This year has been like no other, as you kind of alluded to. And I think as an educator, you always are continually growing in your craft and wanting to get better. This pandemic has offered me and the folks that I work with, the teachers that I work with, to kind of recreate how we view educating young people. And it's been just exciting in a lot of ways and also very daunting in other ways.
I would imagine so with the pandemic at hand. I mean, you had to really come in, you know, first days in and deal with a massive amount of changing the way we educate, as did all businesses, because we went from in person to not in person. And that had to be, I mean, a new challenge at that point.
It was, and it still is. Education is something that always, again, continues to change. And, you know, school learning took place in the classroom, right? And prior to the pandemic. And after we went to our homes where we could not leave and where people were not sure what this actually meant, it meant that we had to change education and how we approach teaching and learning, getting students devices so that all of our students were one-to-one, where learning could take place in their homes, in the safety of their own homes. Families became more involved in education. I think that's always a positive thing, but it also taught our students and our staff that education takes place outside of the classroom. And so students continue to investigate their world and continue to explore other learnings and also help facilitate their learning a little bit more closely than what they were doing prior to the pandemic.
In our Powerful Women segments, we always talk about how women navigate through their challenges. What's been the biggest challenge for you as you continue to navigate being superintendent here at GRPS, especially during this pandemic?
Lots of challenges. I think, you know, finding my voice in a new community, in a new city, also getting to meet people and being authentic in that meeting. And so there's always been this barrier since I've been here where I've met people via Zoom or via phone call. And now I'm starting to get to meet people in person and I have to kind of reintroduce myself. So that would be a challenge. And then also navigating a new space. We are in a very critical time in education as our young people are seeing lots of different things that are taking place across our community and across our world. And to be able to explain it in a way that's thoughtful, but then also encourage them to investigate for themselves. So it shouldn't just be what I believe or what their parents believe, but what are their beliefs, and to have some discourse around that. And so those are kind of some of the challenges that I've seen in education. And then even with myself, as I'm getting to learn this community, to find out what has been the history of Grand Rapids and figure out how do I embed kind of my experiences into that rich fabric, and then also to move the district forward and help move the community forward as part of a new Grand Rapidian.
Yeah, because it's a lot of moving parts. I mean, because again, the pandemic is like the threshold here. That's the biggest thing that's been happening in everyone's world for this last year as we kind of navigate through that now. But you're in a new city, you're meeting new people, and you're a new school superintendent, a new job. I mean, you had so many new things to navigate. You know, it's been a big year for you.
It has. It's like checking off the box. Where do I start first? And I've been very fortunate where I've taken time to get to know the city. My husband and I, we drive around on weekends and evenings just to get lost so we can figure out how to find our way back home, and then also making connections between the different buildings. To the point of, with respect to, you know, getting to know people, that has been, I think, probably the hardest part, just because, again, when I came in July, everything was still pretty much shut down, and trying to get to know people, and, you know, we're talking via computer first and then getting to reintroduce myself to them in person. And then, you know, everybody has masks. And when I see people without their mask, I'm like, okay, have I met them? And so it's been that kind of thing taking place for me.
So, you know, powerful woman is written all over the work that you do. We're talking about that. One of the things too, I mean, I'm going to jump back for a second though, as you get to know people, I have to touch on this. Your name also is a conversation starter in many days, isn't it? Because, I mean, you're introducing yourself to the Grand Rapids community, and people are like, Ledrian, I just want to establish that fact so people, when they do meet you now, it's Dr. Ledrian Roby, Ledrian, and not Led or Ledrian or...
I've been called a little bit everything. And sometimes it's not been always so nice, but it is Ledrian. And my name has significance in my family. My grandmother actually named my brother and myself, and she had a thing for L's. Her name was Lillian, and my dad's name is Lloyd, and I'm, of course, Ledrian. And so there was a thing around that. She wanted my name to be a conversation piece. I remember as a little girl, I wanted something a little bit more simple, because I always, you know, the first day of school when the teacher is calling off names, I always knew when she was at my name, because he or she was at my name, because they would get stuck. And I would just say, it's Ledrian, like Adrian, Ledrian. And so that's usually the clue I give to folks when I'm introducing myself for the first time, because I know it's a very unique name. I'm looking forward to meeting any other Ledrians that are out there.
Right.
Haven't met them yet, but we'll see.
One day, maybe.
One day.
So I wanted to reintroduce Ledrian, Dr. Ledrian Roby here. So, and as we look at powerful women, we look back at our lives and we say, okay, there were barriers. As we look at you, the person, what are some of the barriers that you perhaps faced as you traveled along your career's path?
I think when I look back over my career, finding my voice and, you know, building that confidence. I think we are inundated oftentimes with images that shape who we think we are or who we should be. I was very fortunate that I had a mother and an aunt who were extremely powerful women. They always said, you can be whatever you want to be. And I remember even as a young girl giving me that voice, something as simple as an Easter speech, and, you know, making sure that I projected my voice and used my voice in a powerful way was kind of an image that sits in my head. But the other kind of things that I would see, it's like, oh, you know, I'm not tall enough, you know, I'm not this, I'm not that. And kind of quieting those negatives around who I am, and to really just say, yep, you can do it. Does it have to be perfect? Nope. But when it's not, this is how you learn, and this is how you try again. And that's something that I have tried to take with me as I've matured, and, you know, both in my personal life and also in my professional life, that it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to have an earnest effort to try. And also having a board of directors, so to speak, with friends, close friends, to be those accountability partners to say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. Did I do this good? What, you know, what other advice could you offer
feedback.
Me? Feedback, yeah. And, you know, people that you trust. And I also have to be that for my friends and folks that have asked me to stand in and give them feedback.
Okay, because I was going to ask you, that's one of my fave questions is, what has it taken for you to find your own voice? So would you say the things that you do, and especially with your mom being a good role model for you, of course, did you get comfortable in your own skin? Would you say that
yes.
you are now at this
yes,
juncture?
Yes, I would say probably when I hit about 35, I was on all cylinders, right? And it very much was, you know, that conversation. And then also kind of distinguishing who needs to be in your circle. And I'm talking on the more personal level. You still, you know, always want to keep people in your circle who will give you that critical feedback and, you know, say, okay, girl, you know, you might want to think about this, but then also are your champion and your cheerleaders. And then I want to mirror that back out to my friends as well, to be their champion and cheerleaders. And if I can't be that positive influence or give my give folks critical, constructive feedback to help them grow, then I'd probably need to remove myself from them.
It's a give and take.
It is. It's absolutely.
So being the GRPS superintendent, you, of course, work with many people and in fact, the entire community. What leadership traits do you like to see? I mean, you're heading up, you know, the large organization here in Grand Rapids. What leadership traits do you like to see, perhaps in those who are with you on this journey, perhaps in those you are mentoring? What are some of those traits?
A couple of things. You have to have a growth mindset, right? You have to believe in the potential of people. Also, being reflective, I think it's important as a leader to understand that you're not always going to get it right. And then when you don't get it right, being open and honest to say, you know what, I could have done this a little bit better, and this is how my plan moving forward. Also, as a leader, what I look for in other leaders, what I look for in myself, and I try to encourage others to do so, is to have, again, that, you know, those critical thinking partners where in a district this size, it's not just me making the decision. Ultimately, I'm the voice, but I take in input from community. I take in input from teachers and principals and our cabinet and our board. And that's all part of that decision-making process. And then when we come forward, we have evidence to support why we're making a decision, even when it may not be a popular one. So I think it's important as a leader to also be reflective and engage other voices so you don't just have the people who are going to agree with you, because I don't think that necessarily helps.
That's not building on what you need on a foundation.
Absolutely. If I have a whole bunch of yes people, that doesn't help. I need people to disagree and say, hey, have you considered this? Or were you aware of this information? That all feeds into that conversation as we make decisions moving forward.
And allows you to grow, I would imagine, too.
Absolutely.
In that position.
Absolutely.
What would you say to your 21 to 25-year-old self? Because you said at 30, you pretty much had found that voice, you were comfortable. But what would you say to that 25-year-old?
It's okay to say no. And I think sometimes no is a complete sentence where you don't always have to offer a reason for a no. As in no period, no explanation point, not no question mark. It's no. And that protects your peace, right? And to have that balance, because people will come at you and ask for lots of different things. And even though you want to be able to do it, it may not be reasonable or feasible for you to do it. And so it's okay to say, you know, I'm sorry, I can't do it at this time. And so that would be what I would advise my 25-year-old self to do, to be okay with saying no instead of stressing out that, oh, someone's not going to like me, or, you know, oh, I'll miss out on this opportunity. I've gotten over on the fear of missing out, so to speak. It's mm-hmm. like sometimes I just don't need to be a part of certain things.
Absolutely. We've all been there. So I know you, throughout your career, you have kids. And so you were a busy mom as well as one who was flowing along your career's path. For advice for those who are looking in and listening in, what would you say to younger people who are, you know, trying to balance it all, but yet have that powerful woman career?
Sure. Going back to the no, it's okay to say no to certain things. And I stand, you know, with my husband, we did this together, right? And so when our children were at home, he might be taking the boys to basketball practice, and I would be running my daughter to dance practice or to other things. And so we were constantly moving. Sometimes the meals wouldn't be so great at home, and that's okay, but everybody got fed. Mm-hmm. And so, again, it's trying to figure out what that sweet spot is, it's like, nope, we didn't necessarily have these really gourmet, fancy meals when our kids were at home because we were trying to do all those other things and allow them to have some experiences. And then also we wanted to make time for couple time too, right? And so it's about
date
night. We used to take a dance class. I've shared that before. And we've got to get back to some of those things. But if you want to be that powerful woman, it doesn't mean that you have to do everything, but just trying to figure out what your priorities are and then mapping them out. And then also remembering to have fun and sometimes stepping back so that you're not so overly committed that you are trying to do everything and be everyone and be in every place. I don't think that that's always as important.
It's a lot. And that's a perfect segue to my next question is, what do you guys do for fun? You know, you advance in age and you do different things. We're not old by any means.
I was going to say, advance in age.
You know, that didn't come out quite right, but we're getting older, but better. But what do you like
we're
to
seasoned.
Do?
We're seasoned.
What do you do in your spare time? You know, fun with family and friends. What do you do? What do you like to do?
So my husband, Stephen, and I, I will tell people he is the chef and I'm the sous chef. So we do a lot of cooking at home. And so he comes up with these really creative ideas and I'm the chopper, right? And I clean up after and do all that stuff. But he's the kind of the brains, the executive chef, so to speak. So that's one of the things that we do for fun. Prior to the pandemic, we would do a lot of outdoor activities. We do a lot of walking and go bike riding. And when we were in Minnesota, because we knew the city a little bit better, we could go to little spots and, you know, sit out on the deck and hang out and do some things like that. What I'm looking forward to as the weather gets warmer here in Grand Rapids is exploring our city a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And we've started to do a little bit of that where we've done a little bit of walking. We've talked about getting on our bikes. We haven't done that yet this year, but we plan on doing some of that just to get out and explore the city a little bit more. We've walked downtown a couple of times. So those are kind of the main things that we do. We do cooking at home and then, you know, kind of a little bit of exercise. And we, you know, have a little small dog that loves to go out for walks.
And so glad to be back in Michigan then.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Absolutely.
Easy breezy question, but one of my faves. I ask it to everyone. What makes you laugh?
Oh gosh. So I have two grandchildren, right? And my granddaughter, who's 3 years old, her name is Reese. So a quick little shout out to Reese. Three-year-olds say kind of the funniest, yes, most amazing things. And, you know, and I really feel like she's been here before because some of the stuff that she says, she calls me dear. And if she gets exasperated with me, she'll kind of sigh like, yes, dear. And it's just so funny coming from a three-year-old because it's like, okay, what do you, what I'm reading it into it is, what do you really want? Mm-hmm. So she makes me laugh. Just sitting around with family and friends, you know, just talking, chatting it up and telling silly stories about our kids or funny things that may have happened in the past, that, you know, things that make me laugh. Good comedy show. I haven't been to one recently, of course, but, you know, those are all the things that kind of make me laugh.
Absolutely. Okay, so just before I let you go, so much happening in our world today. People often are looking for just that little word of encouragement. Do you by chance have any favorite sayings or mottos that you may use to encourage yourself and others?
That's a good one. And I have all sorts of sayings and mottos. I'll use one that my grandmother always used to say to me. Common sense is not always common. And so when she used to say that, I would think, what does she mean by that? And it's like, you can't always assume that people will have common sense. Mm-hmm. And so that was one that kind of resonates with me. Something I might say to my own kids or my family is be true. Be true to yourself. Let your words be aligned with your actions. So make sure that there's congruence between what you say and how you show up for people and how people will decide how they interact with you.
Absolutely. Good word to end on. Dr. Leadrian Roby, it is so nice to have you here with us today. We really enjoyed this conversation. I really enjoyed speaking with one of our powerful women right here in West Michigan. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Jennifer.
And I also want to thank, of course, all of our listeners for joining us for this edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Produced by women, about women. These powerful podcasts focus on powerful women and how their strength transforms who we are and how we live. Want to hear more Powerful Women Let's Talk? Get additional interviews at WGVU.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and subscribe. Powerful Women Let's Talk is produced by WGVU at the Meyer Public Broadcast Center at Grand Valley State University. The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of WGVU, its underwriters, or Grand Valley State University.